Astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses. Call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit our website at VisionSourceAdvancedEyeCutoff.com.
Dear VetTicks, it was nice to spend the night with my daughter and other veterans. It's so humbling to attend an event when you feel appreciated.
I had a wonderful time with my family. Thank you for the memories, VetTicks.
Dear VetTicks, thank you for a great experience and for your support of the military and veterans.
Thank you so much, VetTicks. Our family has gone through a lot the last few years, and this gave us a nice break.
Every empty seat at a concert, game, or special event is a missed opportunity to say thank you to a veteran or a service member. By giving your extra tickets to VetTicks, you'll help America's heroes reduce stress, strengthen family bonds, and create a truly happy memory that will last a lifetime. So when you really want to say thank you for your service, give the experience. Give the memory. VetTicks. Give something to those who gave. For more information on how you can make a difference, go to VetTicks.org.
Simplify your life with Simply Free Checking from SL Bank. Why pay over-the-top fees for a checking account when our Simply Free provides the best in daily money management with mobile banking, debit cards, free e-statements, and a lot more, with no minimum balance requirement and no monthly maintenance fee. And when you open a new Simply Free account, you'll receive a free gift. Visit us today at any of our four locations. SL Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
It is hour number three of the Sports Hangover. As always, what we like to do when it comes to Friday, let you know that you officially made it to the end of your work week and the weekend is here.
It's Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend. Friday, Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, 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 partying. Fun, 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 looking forward to the weekend. It's Friday.
It is. Rebecca Black letting you know you've made it to the weekend. Tonight, game night. Pelicans taking on the Bulls. Chicago 1-0, New Orleans 0-1. 7 o'clock is your start time. We got plenty to get into here this hour. Touch them all. Timmy Grubbs at 2:15 on a Major League Baseball playoffs. Leo Haggerty, 2:30. May hear from John Forcade as well as he gives his take on the LSU Ole Miss game as he is on his way to Oxford, I believe. We'll chat with him here in a quick second. Jimmy, thank you for holding on during the break, sir. Let's lead things off with you. How are you this afternoon?
Hey, how's it going, Gus?
Doing well, man.
Hey, man. Real quick, so I'm reading that Ben Simmons wants out, or that, you know, it's the big story right now, and that there's now a timeline. The Sixers are going to unload him. Obviously, they're not going to get as much value as they probably want. I mean, what's your take on possibly the Pelicans making a move on him? I know he's kind of a jerk. Mm-hmm. I mean, I met him one time during his LSU time. You know, I remember meeting him one time, Gus, at a Pelicans game. Mm-hmm. He really wanted to play for the Lakers. And me and my wife, we were at the game, and we were sitting by him. You know, it was a Pelicans-Lakers game. Everybody wants to see the Lakers game. But I think he was scouting him out because he really wanted to play for the Lakers. Well, mm-hmm. You know, he kind of blew us off. We wanted a picture with him. So, yeah, he's kind of a jerk, but he's very talented. Very, very talented, great defensive player.
Right.
And I bring all that up to say, you know, we're a small market. And I've called up before. We don't have much fan support. I mean, the crowd Wednesday night, it was the home opener. Yes, mm-hmm. It was a weekday. I get it. But it wasn't that big a crowd. And now Josh Hart is hurt. Zion Williamson's overweight or whatever's going on with that. My point is, Gus, how much leverage do we really have to wait it out, to hope that these draft picks work out? I hope that Nikhil Alexander-Walker becomes a stud. that this, you know, Trey Murphy becomes something special.
Right.
Do we really have the time? I mean, we are going, it's kind of like similar to what the Saints were before Drew Brees. The only time big players would come play for the Saints was on the back end of the career. They didn't have any other options, i.e. Brian Cox, like his final year in the NFL, for example. And I feel like the Pelicans, even though we have Zion as a cornerstone piece, a cornerstone piece, we're again becoming, I wouldn't say irrelevant, but do free agents want to come here? I mean, I don't know. You answer that question for me. And I mean, if that's the case, we can't get people to come here voluntarily, maybe a trade for a guy who's got a little bit of a checkered past like this guy,
right,
might be worth it. So what's your take on that?
Jimmy, first and foremost, I wouldn't even forget picking up the phone. That's not even a consideration for me. And I'll tell you why. You can tell me what he can and can't do on and off the basketball court. You are in a current state where you hear yourself talking. We've heard three callers earlier today say the same thing. Same old Pels. They're never going to win. We're never going to. You are already in a negative state. The absolute last thing you need is a guy who literally today said he's physically ready to play, but he needs a mental break because he's not mentally ready to play today. He created the situation. It wasn't the Sixers. They've tried to help him with his shot. They've tried to get people to work with him. He refuses to work with them. It's not his teammates. They've tried to go out there and say, we support you. Do you really think that's what this locker room needs? You went out and got a coach that is about unselfishness, hard work, effort, energy, all of that. He's the antithesis of that. He's been that since LSU. He's that now. So he can defend and grab a rebound. Congratulations. He can't shoot. He won't shoot. And he's a mental problem. And I'm not making fun of mental health and mental awareness. There's real people that deal with that stuff. Making $147 million a year, and you're telling me you're not mentally ready to do that when you've created all of this? It's hard for me. I'm not saying that maybe there isn't something he needs to go talk to somebody about and lay on a couch. I'm just saying not on my team. That's all I'm saying. With all of the stuff I've had to deal with already, I'm having trouble keeping my star player, quote unquote, healthy and ready to play. The last thing I need is that media circus. So that's why I would say no. That's why. John 4K joins us on the road. I'm assuming you're on your way to Oxford, huh?
Man, I'm sitting on the balcony overlooking the square. I got up here about an hour ago.
There we go. What is the level of excitement over there for Eli, man? Getting retired.
Oh, man. We just left one restaurant. We passed by the other one, and it was shut down because Eli and the Mannings were in there with the recruits. And then there's another function tonight that I get invited to go to downtown the square. And then there's a third function at 9 o'clock. So it's going to be a busy day for him. I mean, tonight and as well as tomorrow. This place is packed already. And it's, you know, hate to say this, man, but if you got drinking problems, don't be here at 1 o'clock in the afternoon because they already got bars already packed. I'm like, wait a second, it's 1 o'clock.
Well, I mean, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, right? And I guess if you just kind of look at it like island time or something, I mean, I'm sure it's 5 o'clock somewhere, John. So, but look, to that point, you mentioned that he's there with recruits and everything. It's been kind of poked at. I think he has a game tonight. I don't know. But I mean, how much of this is about Arch Manning? How much do you talk about Arch Manning up there at Ole Miss?
You know, that's funny that you ask because on my way up here, a bunch of people were texting me about where's Arch going? Where's Arch going? I said, well, I think he's going to Alabama just to pull a leg. Oh, my God. I opened up a can of worms there. But no way. But I'll say this. There is some talk up here because, obviously, it's Manning weekend. People are saying, well, did they paint the field for Arch Manning because he's up here as well? Or did they paint the field for Eli Manning because of the retirement of his jersey? I think it's more Eli, but the fact that he's got the last name Manning. Look, they would love to have him up here, but what would happen if he's being recruited to come to Ole Miss, if it's Lane Kiffin, and all of a sudden Lane Kiffin becomes the LSU's head coach, what do you think would happen then if he says, oh, I'm going to Ole Miss for Lane Kiffin? Well, does he say, wait, I'm not going to Ole Miss now because Lane Kiffin? You don't think that would ruin things up here with the Mannings because
Absolutely.
Of that? But who knows? I don't think he's coming here. My belief is I don't think he's going to come here, and it puts another pressure on the fact that he don't have to announce anything. He's got another year of high school.
Yeah, no doubt. That is for sure. I said this, and again, I'm not being disrespectful to anything. If Carver was anything nearly as talked about as that kid and had that pedigree, I'd have ended recruiting. It's Alabama. Nick, you got 3 years to get the best offensive lineman and running back and receivers around me. Like, it's plug and play over there. It's a joke. But let me ask you this about Lane, because it's something that's been talked about this week, and he came out this week and said, hey, look, I can only control what I can control. He didn't exactly say, I'm not. Now, there's no buyout there. Now, you're hanging out with people. Right. You have Ole Miss alum that you talk to. Is there a legit concern that he would he go if it was entertaining? Do you think LSU's going to look at him?
Yeah, a couple things hit that. I think LSU does look at him. They have to. They have to, you know, cross their T's and dot the I's. They have to do everything in due diligence to get the right coach if they feel like he's capable of being their coach. With all that being said, they're not. Coaches will not. If you look at some of the coaches that say, "Oh, I just got, you know, I'm doing my deal. It's out of my hands." Those are the ones you got to worry about to go, because they're actually considering that. The ones who basically come out, "I'm very happy here. My wife says I'm happy here. We're not leaving here." This and that. Those are the ones you probably won't get. But the ones who go by the PC correctness of what to say to the media. I mean, what do? You go to every coach in the country and ask them about, well, what's the deal with you and LSU? What do you expect these guys to say? So, you know, you got to look between the lines. You got to read between the lines. Is he on the list of the top three? He should be. I think Hugh Freeze should be another guy to look at. Dave Aranda. That's three guys I would look at right there to be my head coach if it was LSU. If he leaves here, you know he's going to go from $4 million a year. He'll be up to, you know, $9 million a year or $8 million, whatever it may be that they give him. But yeah, he's on that bandwagon right now to possibly get looked at to go. And I think people around here kind of expect it because it's a big name, and you know he's done a lot for Ole Miss. And LSU says, wait a second, if he can do it at Ole Miss, what can he do with the best players that we can get at LSU?
One of the things that I find interesting too, because sir, you play quarterback at Ole Miss, Matt Corral, man, where is he? And really, the season that he sort of had it in from last year. I mean, you've seen progression, right? Against Arkansas alone, he threw, what, six picks. He's thrown one this season. He's banged up that Tennessee game the way it was. Is he going to play? Is he not? We'll see tomorrow. I still think he sort of does, especially with the Heisman on the line. And, you know, they only have one loss, and they're ranked 13th. So, man, from your perspective, though, what kind of year is he having, and where is he amongst all the different names at Ole Miss?
I'll say this. When I first met the young man, it was before he came to school here as his senior year, and he was up here, and he's having a great on time down in Oxford. I'm like, wait a second. This kid's not even out of high school yet, and he's already partying it up here. Well, his first year at Ole Miss, man, they wasn't sure about him. He thought he was, you know, immature, and we all saw it in the field. And then he gradually got better. And then last season, after the six-pick game, something happened to him. He became a much better quarterback. I don't know what it was. The six picks might have did it for him. But he was such a fantastic quarterback from after the Arkansas game. And the year he's having now, if he stays healthy, he's going to definitely, I think, go in the first round. And he's got the capability of doing that the way he's played. Now, as far as him being injured, listen, you can't run a guy 30 times. And he's not built to be a running guy for 30 times a game. That's Lane Kiffin's fault. And when you got some really good running backs, now, will he play in this ball game? Look, he will play. He is hurt. We all know that here, and I've discussed with some people. But that's why they make needles, and they put stuff in them needles, and them needles could go in certain spots. So they'll get him through 3.5 hours of non-pain, and then when it's over with, and they'll go back to dealing with him. But the kid's played well. He's played within his means of what he needs to do. Only got one pick. It was a stupid pass he threw. But overall, this team goes how Matt Corral goes.
I think one of the things that I'll be interested to see tomorrow is if LSU will play with that level of energy and enthusiasm. I don't know if it was the news that leaked with Coach O, John, or not, but they came out and played. There was no doubt about it last week. It's hard to kind of do back-to-back again in certain elements. I guess I haven't talked to you. Your quick thoughts on the Ogeron firing, and who do you think should be the next coach for LSU? Do you have a favorite, or do you have a type?
Well, I'll get to that in a second, but what I think about the Ogeron firing, I saw something here 2 weeks ago when I was at the Arkansas game. I watched the LSU-Kentucky game. That did not look like Ogeron on the sideline. I think deep down he knew that game he was going to be let go or something was going to happen. That's just something I saw. I can't guarantee it, but look, they were going to make a decision before the year was over. I don't think he was going to last, and that's fine. And Danny, that's their right to do it. But for him to stick around, I don't understand that part. And I heard players, I've heard coaches, I've heard things about there was some dysfunctional locker room amongst players and coaches. But overall, for me to look at who should go, I think a Hugh Freeze, a Lane Kiffin, or Dave Aranda. Aranda knows what he does. He knows the defensive side of the football. He can hire an offensive guy. The other two guys know offense. They just got to hire a defense. That's my top three picks right there, I think.
All right. What do you see tomorrow, sir?
Rebels by at least 10 points, maybe two touchdowns. I think there's going to be issues with LSU tomorrow. They just can't run. I think Ole Miss wants it bad, and I really believe Ole Miss has got a shot to really beat these guys. And I think it can be a two touchdown, anywhere from 10 to 14 points, the Rebels win.
Thank you as always, man. I'll talk to you again next Friday, 2 o'clock.
Okay, bud. I'll see you Friday. Thank
you. Sounds good. Safe travels back home, man. Quick break. We come back. We'll talk a little Major League Baseball with Touch 'Em All, Timmy Grubbs. An elimination game today. Elimination game tomorrow. Will there be game sevens moving forward? We'll find out. Let's do that next on ESPN New Orleans.
Every day is like Sunday. Every day is silent and gray.
Get ready, Greater New Orleans area. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show, is coming for 2 big days only this weekend at the Ilario Center in West Wego. Show hours are Saturday 9 until 5, Sunday 10 till 5. Hundreds of dealer tables available, full of guns, knives, ammunition, holsters, gun, books, camouflage, jewelry and related items. Hunters and collectors, this big show's for you. Buy, sell, trade, or just spend the day browsing. Ladies are especially welcome. Admission is just $10 for adults and $2 for children ages 6 to 11. Sorry, no one under the age of 18 admitted without a parent. Got any guns to sell? Be sure they're unloaded and bring them to the show. Thousands of buyers will be there. Instant background checks available for gun purchases. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show. Show hours 9 to 5 Saturday, 10 till 5 on Sunday. Come to the Ilario Center in West Wego to exercise your right to keep and bear arms. While you're there, be sure to register for the $50 restaurant gift card. See you there at the big one. Sure as shooting, don't miss it.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply. 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Can we talk
sports? Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. It's time to talk a little Major League Baseball. It's October. It's this, it's that, it's that, and this. Here's Mr. Tim Grubbs. A few minutes here to talk about tonight's elimination game. Got Red Sox and Astros in Houston. Boston down 3-2. Tim, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's been a crazy World Series. I mean, playoffs. Right when you think you've got a team and you figured it out, the other team flips the switch. So I don't know if I can make any predictions at this point, but it certainly has been entertaining.
I wanted to wait to the end of the week because, I like you, each of these games, man, they're while sometimes the score was like 9-2 or something like that, I always felt, though, Tim, it was in an inning, you know? Whether it's the one-run wins or the multi-run wins, the game's close and it just turns on an inning. I've actually been pleasantly surprised in that I feel like both of these series, and they're being played completely different, but I feel like they've been pretty competitive with one another.
They really have. Some of the games, and I agree with you, it comes down to one inning. It feels like every game, you know, either a pitcher blows up or melts down and the manager's a little slow on making the change, and before you know it, the game's over. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, a 3-1 game turns into a 9-1 game. And we've seen it in both series, and it has been crazy. You hate to say it, but it really, I think all four teams have explosive offenses. Pitching has been skeptical at times, you know what I mean? And it just seems like whenever one of the pitchers blows up, that's how the pendulum swings. And before you know it, the game's gotten out of hand. And I think that's the way it's been. I mean, you and I have commented a couple of times about, we're in the fourth inning, we're already on our sixth pitcher of the game. It's like, what are they doing?
Yep.
But I guess it's this day and age, and with the off days and with everything on the line, that they're going to pull the trigger pretty quick.
Man, you and I text about this. That's why I said it's kind of being played differently. But look, the Dodgers and the Braves have gone through their relievers and things of that nature. But I almost feel like in the American League, I'm just legitimately asking you this question. Moving forward, I'm the Cubs. I got made the GM of the Cubs. I know they just went and got the guy from Cleveland. But if I'm the GM of the Cubs, am I spending over $100 million on a starter?
I would, but I mean, I think it depends who it is. But you watch this Houston-Boston series. You know what I mean?
They're not lasting two innings.
Their pitchers are terrible. Like, it's like, how did these teams get to this point? Obviously, the Astros had a really great start a couple of nights ago. But other than that, the Astros haven't had a pitcher go beyond, what, the third inning or something like that? I mean, it is amazing. To me, you know, you go back to that National Series, World Series a couple of years ago, you know, with Max Scherzer, and you know what I mean, and Strasburg was pitching great, and Corbin was pitching good. And you saw those three guys basically will that franchise to a World Series title. But we're seeing nothing like that in that Astros-Red Sox series. I do think in the NL we're going to see some good pitching, and that's why, you know, I'm a little bit uneasy feeling about going into the final two games because, I mean, you look, you've got Scherzer going and you've got Walker Buehler going, and before you know it, the Dodgers might have enough firearms right there to be able to pull off, you know, another incredible comeback. But you never know because Atlanta's pitching is lined up pretty well as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, look, pitching obviously has been a big topic on this as well. Timely hits, timely matters, and, you know, it never fails. Every single baseball postseason, Tim, there's always somebody that steps up and, you know, I don't know, was one of 27 or battled injury this year or is doing this and that. Who is it in both series for you that you think has really had, quote unquote, that magical at bat?
Well, Chris Taylor last night, I mean, this is a guy that he's a utility player that can play multiple positions, and we've seen him in the last few World Series and the last few playoff runs have some pretty good plays and have some big at-bats. I mean, but he's had an incredible postseason. You know, before even last night, he's had a really good postseason, and then, you know, last night he had three home runs. I think he's by far, you know, and he's a free agent at the end of the year. He's made himself a lot of money because I don't know how much money he would have made prior to this postseason. You know, he's a guy that can play a lot of different positions. He's got a lot of things going on. But now all of a sudden, someone's going to overpay for him thinking, you know, he's the key piece. And maybe he is because, I mean, he can play multiple positions and he's come up with some huge at bat.
I think one of the things that you look at as well in this series is it's almost a different sense here with both home teams going. I've noticed today in the National League, the memes, the gifs is, uh-oh, this is right where the Dodgers want you at 3-1. Now, I know what happened last year, and I guess that's why they're saying that, but this looks like a different Braves team. I still think the Dodgers are capable of winning two in a row. I just don't see that happening. Now, they win game six, game seven, you know who's going to be puckered up, right? I mean, I get it, but I don't think the Dodgers do it.
You know what? When you start thinking, I mean, 2 days ago, you and I were texting, the Dodgers were down. I was 3 days ago, the Dodgers were down. I thought for sure both series were over. I thought it was going to be Atlanta takes care of business in L.A. I didn't even think it was going to come back to Atlanta. And I thought Boston was going to take care of business at home. And now all of a sudden, they're both going to different cities. So, I don't know. I mean, L.A. has won its last playoff. If the Dodgers get up early, those Braves fans are going to feel it. You know what I mean? They're going to start feeling the strangulation in the second or third inning of Game 6 and start feeling the vibe of the ballpark. No, I really do think the Dodgers have a good chance of swinging it back. No, I do think this is a different Braves team. And if Atlanta chokes away this one again, you know, now all of a sudden they're going to be putting themselves in a, you know, an elite group of teams that have really, you know, struggled. Mm-hmm. Up the Buffalo Bill category. You know, I mean, the Cleveland Indians, a team that hasn't, even though they won a World Series, what, 25 years ago or whatever it was, it does feel like, you know, they're about to slip another one away.
All right, and then when you look at the American League, I almost feel like the Astros can't wait to be home, right? I mean, you do feel that sense of you know, home field environment over there.
Yeah, you do, especially knowing, you know, they have more whistles and more contraptions in Houston than they would maybe on the road. But, you know, the other thing that, you know, you and I have always joked around about was the Dusty Baker effect. Dusty has had some leads in Game 6 of NLCSs that have gotten away. You know, he's got to feel a little pressure. I mean,
you think so? You think so? I'm going to text you at 8 o'clock tonight and see how Dusty's doing. That's an hour in the game. Hour in the game.
I think Houston's in good shape. I do think that. But if for some reason this gets slipped away, Dusty doesn't have a contract beyond this year. And, you know, we've seen Dusty let it slip with Cubs, let it slip with Giants. I mean,
Nationals,
he's got a history here.
National. That is his history. That is his history, the toothpick and late leads.
And he's been the better manager, him and Cora. I mean, he's made the better move to this point. It's just now that they're back at home.
You know,
I don't think Dusty's going to screw it up, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
It's funny you say that. I would have liked, look, I love, there's a certain element to Boston I kind of dig as well. And I would have, I always like the, I always feel like karma sometimes though this season. Like, I was not a fan of Cora berating his pitcher coming off the mound again. You know, just this stuff that these managers like, the rules are let, which, seriously? Like, I didn't care for that. And then you had the post-game show on Fox where they literally had to mute most of it because their fans went, you know, Boston fan and started chanting expletives during a live broadcast. So you know what? Look, between them and the cheaters of Houston, I go whoever wins in the National League. I mean, that's just me, though. I mean, I kind of feel like that's to your point that you and I were texting yesterday. You wonder what the ratings are going to be for this World Series.
I think if it's Houston Dodgers, I think it's going to be pretty big ratings, even though I don't know who's going to root for who. But you know what I mean? I think you root for, you know, the team with the huge payroll over the cheating team. You know what I mean? I do think they'll have a little bit. I think if it's Atlanta versus Boston, you know what I mean? I could see it being... It's interesting. I'm wondering what the ratings are looking like for the ALCS and NLCS. I haven't looked them up. I assume they're okay.
Right.
You're a big market. I mean, you're dealing with huge markets here, so I'm assuming the TV ratings are okay. They're not going to be great because that's just the way baseball is nowadays, but I would imagine they're doing okay. But if you get the wrong matchup here, I mean, I do think that LA-Houston rematch from a few years ago is kind of what Fox wants. At least I would think that's what they would want for the World Series.
We'll see if MLB wants that, too. If a pitch goes right down the middle and you hear nothing.
Well, there right? has been. I mean, there's been some questionable pitch swings. There's
oh, my gosh.
Have there umpiring calls. And it just gets back. You know, I think it was Carl Ravitch who said it on ESPN that if you don't believe that the automatic strike zone isn't coming, you see some of the calls in some of these games, you're on your own. Because I think it's definitely coming. I don't know if the technology is quite there yet. At least that's what I've heard. It was in single A this past year, so I haven't seen it yet. So I know there's some things they have to work with. But I imagine at the minor league level, if I don't see it next year or the following year, I'm going to be shocked because they'll definitely have it at our level before, you know, obviously they launch it upon Major League Baseball.
Touch them all, Timmy Grubbs at Mr. Tim Grubbs. We like to talk once a week about Major League Baseball, including now the postseason. So it'll be November, but the World Series will be starting here soon, shortly. It'll be wrapping up here. So we'll talk next week, man, about the World Series.
Yeah, no, and if Boston ends up in it, you know, it's November. I mean, wow, it's going to be pretty cold. So that'll be an interesting turn of events. But it's going to be a fun weekend, and hopefully we get some, you know, we've had some historical great Game 6s and Game 7s. Yeah. So I hope one of them, at least one of them in one of the series is memorable.
All right, man. Thank you, Tim. We'll watch tonight. Again, 7:08, Red Sox and Astros. Tomorrow, Dodgers and Braves, as you let us go. Who wins today? Who wins tomorrow?
I'm still going Houston, L.A. I just think that that's what we're going to hear. I know Jordan doesn't want to hear that, but I think it's the pendulum has swung, and I think that's the way it's going to be.
You know what? No one's been a bigger Brave fan for the last year and a month than Jordan the intern. I mean, it will break his little heart. Believe me, he's waited all of a year and a month for being a Braves fan. Thank you so much. I'm not kidding. He picked the team last year, and he decided to pick the Braves because of Daniel Salerson. Before then, he had no baseball team he ever rooted for. So there you go.
There you go.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it. Quick break. We come back. Leo Haggerty. And at some point, I'm going to try to coax the intern, Nicole, into the show. Sports Hangover and ESPN New Orleans.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in First Comprehensive Sports Medicine Program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So your headlights are getting dim? With the seasons changing, now's a great time to change them. Upgrading your headlights can ensure you'll be safe and ready to handle darkness and fog. Oh, and we recommend replacing in pairs. That way you won't have uneven lighting over time. You can get all of your lighting needs fast with our next day delivery and free same day store pickup. Getting the job done just got easier.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Fansville, a college football utopia.
Fansville.
Where the lakes are stocked with ice-cold Dr. Pepper, and the autumn winds rustle with the sweet smell of football glory.
And Dr. Pepper.
It's a land flowing with onion dip, where even the food pyramid is shaped like a hot dog.
Football.
Where every yard gained is a yard worth celebrating, and every celebration is beyond excessive.
With ice-cold Dr. Pepper.
Return to glory this season with Fansville by Dr. Pepper. Grab some today.
The devastation caused by Hurricane Ida was unprecedented. You can prevent additional damage by making a free call to 811 a few days before you dig or disturb the ground in any way. Calling 811 helps protect you from unintentional consequences caused by digging into underground utility lines. After calling 811, wait the required time, confirm all marks, and then dig with care. Call 811 before you dig. It's the law. This message is provided by Common Ground Alliance.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fan.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. Time to go over the NFC South. Mr. Leo Haggerty with Sports Magazine. Sir, how are you this afternoon?
Gus, I'm great. I just got my plane reservations for next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be in studio with you on Friday, and I already got my reservations at Chateau Jean, if you know what I'm talking about, for the weekend. I'm really looking forward to it. In fact, I think Coach G's going to join us on Friday, take a day off from school.
We got room. We got room. Let's do it. Let's hang out. He's taking a day off for you. Wow. Rolling up the red carpet for you, Leo. I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, he has a Friday porch evening with cheese and wine, so I may need a day to recover.
They're doing their best, and I get it. It is the job of reporters. I understand this, and I get it. Big game, Bears at no, it's not. I know they're making it seem like it's Fields versus Brady. Everyone needs to relax. Like, I saw Keyshawn Johnson. I don't know if you saw it earlier this week. I think it was Wednesday, in which he was going after Trevor Lawrence, saying he's all hype, and he's the other young quarterbacks, they're giving their teams a chance to win, and he brought up Fields. The Bears were a playoff team last year. That might matter. And then Dan Orlovsky actually brought up a very good point. The Bills with Josh Allen, KC with Pat Mahomes, some of these other teams, they moved up to go get their quarterback. The Chargers were 2 years removed from a playoff team, the one that Justin Herbert has inherited. Like, the fact that they're making it seem like Justin Fields, and I'm not, this is not to pick on him, this is not to say anything, but let's not make it look like there are three wins. Trevor Lawrence has one. All the other, Zach Wilson, one. Like, everyone's acting like everyone has so much more wins than Trevor Lawrence, and Justin Fields is on a much better team, but he's not Tom Brady right now. And it's just crazy. Are you getting that sense and feel going into this matchup? They're trying to pit these two together?
Gus, it's hyperbole. It's crazy. And again, you want to pick on Trevor Lawrence, go play behind those five blocks of silly putty they have on the offensive line. That's a terrible offensive line. But I asked Bruce Arians about 2 hours ago. I said, Coach, Chicago wants to run the ball. That's into your wheelhouse. I said, is this going to tell what your offense is? Oh, yeah. We're going to find out real quick whether it's their offense or our defense. Gus, this game is going to be a blowout. I don't see a rookie quarterback coming in.
Right.
And he's going to get to the line of scrimmage, and he's going to see Vita Vea, and he's going to see Ndamukong Suh. He's going to go, what the hell did I sign up for? And then he's got JPP and Shaq Barrett coming on the edges, and it's not going to be pretty. The Bears have to be able to run the ball. They're not going to be able to run the ball against the Bucs. This is going to be ugly. I'm saying 38-10, Bucs.
Yeah, like I said, the more I just, and again, this is no way of me being to discredit Fields and all that. I think he is going to be good and stuff. It takes time for these young guys, man. It's like, in the same argument, Keyshawn Johnson, like, well, you know, Aikman and them were 1-15 and Peyton Manning, we weren't calling them great. I'm like, no, exactly. So why are you saying that none of these quarterbacks are doing great? We don't know. We don't know if Lance and those guys will be good or not. They literally haven't played five games. Like, it just breathe, you know? All right. In a game that I don't know what's going to be ratings wise, Falcons at Miami. You're in Florida, little, you know, north of Miami, but is that really going to happen? Brian Flores today saying, he loves Tua. It's his quarterback. A public backing. Is a public backing just around the same thing as a vote of confidence from an owner on a coach?
Gus, if the Miami Dolphins could pull the trigger on Deshaun Watson today, it'd be done. That's how much they want a franchise quarterback. Tua's not the answer. He's not even the question down there. And it's not his ability. It's just he can't stay on the field. And that's a problem in the NFL. You can't make the club in the tub, and that's the big problem. And you got to understand, Gus, and I think you do, but for our listeners, mm-hmm. owners are 65, 75, 85 years old. They have very little patience, and these guys are billionaires who have been able to buy anything they want. Guess what, Gus? They can't buy wins, and that is driving them crazy. Ross has very little patience because he wants it to happen now, and he looks at Deshaun Watson and said, that's my missing piece. If that could happen today, it would happen. It's not a matter of do you trust Tua that Watson is a better fit. Do they want to pull the trigger? Because the Texans don't care. They can go 1-16. They don't care. Here's what you're going to get for Deshaun Watson. We're not coming off that marker.
So when you look at the Falcons, as they go over to the other side of things, are we still trying to figure out what Atlanta is? Or you said last week, though, that you think they're going to get better as the season goes on. You still believe that?
Oh, yeah. They're figuring out what to do with Kyle Pitts. That's the biggest thing. They basically parked him in the garage the first three or four or five games, and they didn't know what to do. Now Arthur Smith is figuring out, hey, we got a weapon here. We can split them out against the base defense, and we got a 6'6 tight end that runs like a wide receiver playing on a safety or a linebacker. So, yeah, they're getting better. And again, just when you get a new head coach,
mm-hmm.
I can't believe the mistakes I'm seeing made by these new guys just because they haven't been there.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the Eagles, you look at the Falcons, just making mistakes.
Leo, let me stop you there. I can. Because, again, and I've been saying this, and you and I have sort of talked about this, and it's sort of what I keep bringing up with LSU's head coaching search, too. Stop being in love with the attachment to a name or the lure of the next hot, young, coming, unproven thing that could be fill in the blank. Sean McVay could be, you know, whatever. Just find a football coach. Like, get guys that actually have gone through their ranks, understand the game, can communicate, can do those things. I mean, you can go down the list with some of these coaches that have never done it before that are, hey, I can draw this and that on a dry eraser board. And you can see, as you're saying, Leo, fundamental mistakes on the field that are hurting their team. I mean, it's insane. Like, the guy in Philly, he literally looks like a grad assistant the way he acts and talks and coaches. It's bad.
Gus, it's really bad. And what I can't believe is, again, they score a touchdown against the Bucs. They're down 8 points, and he goes for two. I can't – whether he makes it or not is immaterial. I can't believe an assistant coach didn't go, hey, coach, if we miss this, we're going to need two just to tie.
Right.
It just makes no sense. And, again – you look at what's going on. You look at the guy in San Diego. You look at the guy up at Cleveland. Guys that have came up through the ranks. They mm-hmm. know what's going on. They're being successful. These other guys, again, oh, Detroit's a dumpster fire with Campbell.
Yeah.
I mean, you had him down here. It's hard for a guy to become a head coach who hasn't been a coordinator. Gus, people don't realize the absolute mayhem and chaos that goes on a sideline during an NFL football game. Like Rich Bisaccia is going to be a head coach and try to be the specialist teams coach out in Vegas. Good luck, Rich, and he's a friend of mine.
Yeah,
man, how are you going to be able to do that? That's going to be another mess. So, again, Gus, I agree wholeheartedly with you. Find a guy who's been there and done that.
Along the lines, Leo Haggerty is Sports Magazine. We cover the NFC South. There's an LSU fan or two that, you know, will chime in this week and say, Joe Brady, put him at the top of the list. And I literally grab the palm of my hand and smack my forehead. I was shocked he got interviewed last year for a head coaching job or two. Especially here at LSU when he made it very openly known. He does not like recruiting. He prefers the NFL game. He's about making the plays and stuff. And it worked with Ensminger because you had a coach that had been an offensive coordinator for years. And I don't know if that has anything to do with what I'm seeing in Carolina. But again, sort of like the mistakes and ideology and philosophies, sort of things you're seeing there. Look, they started out 3-0. They were patting everybody on themselves on the back. They're facing a bad Giants team, but they're favored by 3, but they're 3-3. They don't look the same like the beginning of the year.
No, and again, Christian McCaffrey covers up a lot of sin.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying. I can call plays with Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, Gus, you and I both. We could sit there. We could be NFL coaches of the year. Hey, 22 right, 22 left, swing him out, roll the ball.
Yeah, wheel route.
Hey, Gus, it's even better. How about with Tennessee? I mean, I'm going to give it to Derrick Henry till he dies.
Yeah,
I don't know if you saw that Monday night game, but they interviewed him after the game. Gus, his biceps are the size.
No,
of my
he's
body.
Massive. No, he's a monster.
God.
He's a monster.
Oh, and they timed him at 22 miles an hour at 250 pounds. That's a damn Volkswagen coming at you. It's just crazy. But yeah. You know, Gus, looking at Carolina again, you saw Matt Rhule said, you know, we're going to back this down a little bit. You know, we're just not going to come throw, punch.
Thank you, Leo. I'm glad you brought up that quote. That's what I'm saying. It's just, it's one thing to just say, draw this up and do that. It's another to understand reasoning and philosophy. And the reason I bring that up is this past week, Sean Payton's had two really good press conferences of 25 minutes or more, Leo, and he talks about the thinking and thought process into everything, from the Hail Mary to the positioning, where every player knows what they're doing it, but he's telling them why they're doing it. I've been at practice hitting the right marker, where you got to be on the field for this to happen. Just that's why he's called an offensive genius, because he's understanding the concept. It's like Rain Man, right? There's a bunch of arrows and stuff that's drawn to the end result. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I heard that this week too with Matt Rhule, and I'm like, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hey, Gus, I got a better one for you. I asked Arians today after the Buffalo game. Everybody talked about, you know, Buffalo going for it on fourth down. I said, Coach, do you play for a tie on the road or play for a tie at home and play for a win on the road? Mm-hmm. I said, what's the philosophy? Now, he goes, it changes every game, and it depends on what you're doing in the fourth quarter. Gus, this was tremendous. He goes, you know, if we can't stop anybody in the fourth quarter, we're going for the win.
Sure.
If we are doing really well, having a great fourth quarter, we'll play the tie and then take our chances in overtime. I thought that was prolific, again, and prophetic. It's not a rule written in stone. How are you playing? And, Gus, I'm going to throw this real quick to you. When I was the offensive coordinator at Tampa Bay Tech, we're playing Winter Haven. We score. We're down a point. I turned to the defensive coordinator and said, can you stop them? I never got an answer. He was like, Jackson never gave me an answer. He just started laughing and walking away.
There you go.
But you know what? That's an answer. That's what I want to hear.
That's exactly right. I'm out of time. So how about you come back Monday? We'll talk Saints Seattle, and we'll recap what happened in the NFC South. Sound good?
Absolutely, and I'm going to have my other guy who covers the Bucks, Rich Sports Magazine, Rob Creed. He's going to call in next week when I'm there, so we'll get some Bucks talk, and I'll take care of the NFC South when I'm down there.
Oh, boy. Buck it up here, buck it up there, buck it up everywhere. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend. Talk to you again later.
You too, brother. And, hey, poor boy's on me.
Sounds good. I like that. Quick break. We come back. I got to do this. I got it done midweek. Buddy, you're going to enjoy this. This will be exactly how you want to go into the weekend. Call the intern. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
It's a big win for Slidell, a big win for the whole North Shore, and it's called Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. This $325 million project will have a positive impact on our community. It's a fact. In cities with resorts like this one, jobs go up, home values rise, and the economy booms. And think about this. All the money that goes to Mississippi casinos now will stay right here and turn into millions for us. Winner! Millions to fix flooding. Millions to build a new sports complex for East St. Tammany. And millions for our roads, our schools, our safety. See what we've got planned for Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. Get more details and find answers to all your questions at thenorthshorewinds.com. Vote yes, and the North Shore wins. Vote yes, and we all win. Paid for by the North Shore Winds.
Greg LeBlanc Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com. GregLeBlancToyota.com. We are Home Strong.
On August 29th, 2021, Hurricane Ida wreaked havoc on our community, leaving thousands of people feeling helpless, vulnerable, and desperate. We refuse to let insurance companies do the same.
At AMO Trial Lawyers, we have assembled a team of not only attorneys, but also contractors, adjusters, engineers, and estimators with the focus of maximizing your claim value and assisting in your recovery.
If you think your insurance company isn't treating you fairly, get a name that insurance companies know by calling 985-446-3333. I'm Matt Ory.
And I'm David Ardwin.
And we are the AMO Advantage.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Hi, my name is Carver, and thank you for listening to my dad's short sports hangover.
There it is. I did that back on Wednesday, and that's my son, Carver. So, buddy, you know, you do like the whole French-Cajun thing, and he's avoiding this. I've told him to call for 2 hours. I told him 2:45. I need you to call. And he just texts me, you want me to call? Uh-huh. Yeah, no, I do. Because as we know, the intern has French class. Again, I don't know why a journalism major is taking that much French. But Jordan, you're taking a ton of French. And you know what? I'm just going to give you a tease here.
She said, oh, I'm on coffee. Let me say, I'm on cafe. Vroom, vroom, vroom.
That's right. My heart goes vroom in French, Jordan. I got him to do the entire song. I will spare you the 2 minutes, but I will play that in the background. Thank you. Because I want you to know that a four-year-old...
She said, I'm on coffee. Yeah. Let me say, Ma.
Uh-huh.
I'm on coffee.
I'll talk to you all day.
Yeah. Yeah. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Yeah. I don't even know what this means, by the way. Say it, buddy. Go ahead. Tell me what he's saying. Yep. Oh, listen to him. He's into it.
Unbelievable.
The fact that Buddy could understand what he's saying, he's not just mumbling then, because I have no idea what he's saying. And he, like, breaks into it, man.
Seafood.
I'm like, seafood, what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't know what he's saying. Jordan, do you have any idea what he's saying? Jordan, did he hang up on me? Buddy, wow, there he goes. There he goes. Hung up on me. Oh, he's texting me. It just hung up. Imagine how that happened, buddy. It just miraculously, a phone line just hangs up there. Huh? Yeah. The name of the song, only because it says it in parentheses, is My Heart Goes Vroom or something. So, yeah, I guess, buddy, is that kind of along the lines that you're saying? Somebody's in love with so much that you make it jumpstart and it goes vroom or something of that nature? Yes, thank you. That's the simple way. But there you go. There's a four-year-old, and buddy, he just listens to the song. He loves the movie Cars, and that's from Disney Pixar Cars 2, when they, you know, they travel globally and stuff. Jordan, by my count, is entering was third or fourth semester of French, I think. And so there you go. There it is. Jordan, I just hear Carver. Yeah, I know. I had it playing in the background. Anyway. So, buddy, what do you think we should do with Jordan to match that? We have to give him an opportunity to battle back here. So, is there like a nursery rhyme in French? Fred and Jacques? Okay, well, just let's come up with something like, I don't know, 7 to 10 words, maybe repetitive, that he can then come out and say, and then he can say, look, I do know some French. What do you think, buddy? There we go. See, we can do that. Jordan, we'll find something for you that's, you know, around the nursery level, you know, sign, and we'll give you an opportunity to match Carver there. So, again, don't feel like I'm making fun of you, because I didn't know what he's saying, and I couldn't even remotely try to pronounce it like he did. So, I guess that's a good thing that he can do it and not me. Anyway, we'll have fun with Jordan on Monday as we talk Saints, Seattle. Enjoy the LSU Ole Miss game. Don't forget Colonel Football right here on ESPN New Orleans as well. They take on HBU tomorrow at 6 o'clock, but tonight it's Pelicans in Golden and Bulls Meadow is on ESPN New Orleans.
Yet the store back open to see their
Rouse's Markets in Golden Meadow is back open. The Rouse's family wants to thank everyone that worked so tirelessly to get the store back open to serve our community. Thank you to Rouse's Markets team members who worked at the store every day. Thank you to Rouse's Markets facilities and construction crews. Thank you to Rouse's Markets vendor partners. And thank you, our loyal customers. Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, now open 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being.